Daf is daf ches. So let's take it from the top. I figured a few lines down. I guess the last narrow line down. Amar Rav Yehuda, right after the parentheses. Makes sense? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yehuda, Brei de Rav Shmuel, Bar Shilas, Mishmei de Rav, Apa Pi Sho Amru, Sho Adam Tracha B'Shemei HaTefillah. Even though the halacha is a person is allowed to ask anything he needs in Shemei HaTefillah, Ava Im Ba Lomar, Basof kol bracha bracha. If he wants to add at the end of each particular bracha, Me'ein kol bracha bracha, Omer, he's allowed to say that. If he wants to say refuah b'refa'enu, he wants to say something about tshuva tzlach lanu, he's allowed to add something special in each particular one, but again, you're allowed to say it in Shema Tefillah, but you could also say at the end of each particular bracha. Rashi gives an interesting example here. Look at Rashi, Me'ein kol bracha bracha, Im hayo mishacheach talmudov. The guy forgets his learning, Marich b'chonin hadas, he's allowed to extend it in order to ask for help to remember things. In Baal Tshuvahu, Marech Barotze B'Tshuvah V'chein Kulam. These are just some examples. So Gemara now says, Amar B'Yichi Barashi, Amar Rav, Afa Pisha, Amar Shoal Adam Tracha B'Shemei Tefillah. Even though a person asks for personal needs in Shemei Tefillah, Im Yesh L'Chol B'Sach Beso, Amar B'Riach HaSacholim. If he's an ill person in his house, or it doesn't have to be in his house, that's just an example, but a friend who he knows is ill, or someone else, you ask in B'Riach HaSacholim. If he needs money, Omer b'birchas hashanim, and so on. So Amr b'shu ben Levi, afal pi shamru shol adam tzracha b'shemei tefillah. Again, even though a person asks for personal needs in shemei tefillah, aval im balomar acha tefillaso afilu kaseida yomaki purim Omer. At the end of tefillah, he could ask for anything he wants for as long as he wants. So right now we have three different options of where to ask for things. Either shemei tefillah, or each particular bracha, or the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, right after Yilu Ratzon Yom Refi, before you say Elokai Nitzur. You have to look at the poskim, how exactly the poskim, what's preferable, you're going to find Yesh for Yesh. The new Mishnah tells us now, Ve'elu Eidein Shel Ovdi Chacham, the following are examples of non-Jewish holidays. Kalanda, V'Satchanura, V'Kartisim, V'Yom Genusya Shom Lachem. The first thing we're going to see, this next one, Yom Genusya, is the day that he was appointed king. It's like the day, right, that every single year, the day that he was appointed king. Yom HaLeida, his birthday. Yom HaMisa, the yahrzeit of a king. Divrei, Rebbe Meir. That's all Rebbe Meir. Chachamim Omrim, Kol Misa, Yesh Basreifa, Yesh Ba'avodas Chachavim. When the king died and they burned all of his property, that's an indicator, that's a simon, that was that they did of Avodah Zarah, a celebration of his death. V'shein ba'seifa, when there is no burning done, so ein ba'avodah chachamim, then there was just a celebration of a yahrzeit, but it wasn't necessarily for the Avodah Zarah. We have to distinguish between the person, the king, versus their gods. Aval, but, that's all with respect to the first halacha of the first mission, the Masechta, of doing business before, 3 days before him. Aval yom taglachas zekana, the day that they would shave their beard, ublariso, they let their hair grow long and then cut their hair that was long, v'yom shalabo min hayam, or a day that they were saved from something at sea, or yom shiatsu min beis ha'asurim, a day they were freed from jail, v'oved kocham shiatsu mishal abno, or a non-Jew made a celebration for his son, eino aser ela osa yom v'osa ish bilvat. So then in these last cases, only that day itself is considered a Avodah Zarah day, you can't do business. But 3 days prior, you are allowed to do business on the last grouping. It's the first grouping that the first 3 days are going to be Asr. Interesting question they discuss here as to why they're allowed to mention these names here. There's an Issa deraisa of Shem Elohim Acherim Lo Sazkiru Lo Yishmael Picha. You can't mention non-Jewish names here. So how come the Mishnah here can write different names of the non-Jews? So Rabbeinu Tam suggests as follows, that even though you're not allowed to, if there's a certain tzarech, won't be allowed to. They need to teach you the names to be familiar with the non-Jewish holidays, what days you can't do business. We have such a term like this as well. Rabbi Gamliel, there's a different issue. You're not allowed to make pictures of the moon. But Rabbi Gamliel had a whole chart of the moon in his house in the Beis Din, so people would come to testify the new moon. They'd say, is it like that? Is it like that? Is that like? Isn't that usher? The Gemara says, letzarech, if there's a certain need, so then that would not be considered isser. That's derech limudo, that's derech halacha, that's his understanding. The Yireim, one of the Rishonim, that writes in the Sefer Mitzvos, that no, these names listed are actually not names of the gods, they're names of the non-Jewish people, the individuals who had created these holidays, so it's not a mentioning of the god. What comes out of this whole discussion, what they don't answer is that maybe you could say there's a difference between ksiva and haskara, mentioning versus writing. They could say, the Isser is only lo saskira, don't mention it, but this is only writing it down. So I'm not sure why that's not that would be permitted. I would imagine you can write names of gods down. I think the answer would be is maybe writing would be allowed, but since you're supposed to learn out loud, so once you write down the Mishnah, Mimela you're going to be saying it as well, so they have to think of different explanations as why this is not Bichlal, the Isser. Okay, the Gemara tells us now, Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava Kalanda, that one mentioned in the Mishnah is Shmoni Yamim Achar Tkufa, the 8 days after the Tkufa, changing of the seasons, the changing of the calendar year, that's what's called Kalanda. And Sichanura is Ches Yamim Lifnei Tkufa, the 8 days prior to the end of the year. So it's interesting that they mention the 8 days after before the 8 days before, right? If you will, just using our January 1st for a moment, let's assume it's January 1st. So January 1st through January 8th is mentioned before December 25th or so and on. So just out of order, so the Gemara says, that's fine, v'simanach, the mnemonic to remember all this is, achar v'kedem tartani, the pasuk that appears in Tehillim, that achar, after, and then it mentions the before one, that's the order how to remember the Mishnah, that really calendar is the later Yantif, the later holidays, and Sanchanu, which is mentioned second in the Mishnah, is actually the first holiday mentioned. So then the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, that the day was starting to get less shorter, less sun, more night. The Amar Oily, he says, woe to me, Shema Bishvil Shisarachti, because I was sour, because I sinned. Olam Chashuch Ba'adi, the world is getting darker in front of my face. The Chos L'Tovavo, it's going to go turn back to chaos. The Zuhi Misa, this is the death of Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Sheniknis Allah, a lie that was penalized upon me. Minashemayim. Amar v'yashav shmona yamim b'taynis u'b'tfila. He sat for 8 days davening and fasting. Kevin shirah tkuvas tevis. Once he saw tkuvas tevis was changing, it got to the smallest day of the year. V'rah yom shemarach v'holach. Then he started seeing that the day got longer and longer. Amar minhago shel olam hu halach v'asa. This was the regular way the day works. This is how the world works, and this is no chiddush. It goes bigger and then shorter. That's fine. Then what did he do? Halach v'asa shmona yamim tovim. They made 8 days of celebration, that this is nothing, this is not part of his penalty, this is how the world works. L'shana achar, so the following year, asan le'elu le'elu yamim tovim, he made both sets of 8 days, a total of 16 days, into yamim tovim. Hu kavim l'shem shemaim, he had good intentions, this was a holiday for Hashem, but heim, the avodah zarah, over the avodah zarah, kavim l'shem avodah chacham, they had made this into 16 days of worshipping idols. So Gemara says, after that being said, Bishma, this all makes sense. Leman damar b'tishrei nivra olam yom ezuta chazi yom aricha akati lachazi. It makes sense according to the opinion that Adam Arishon was created on Tishrei. Tishrei, ready, the days start getting shorter and shorter. So he never experienced a long day, so he got very nervous. It started, let's assume, Tishrei was six and a full perfect day, let's assume. 12 hours. So then he started getting into 11:58 and 11:50 and getting shorter. He got nervous. So that would make sense, this whole braisa. Ella, according to the man Amar, that Benisan Nivra Olam, that was created in Nisan, Hachazile Yom Azuta Yom Yarichle. In Nisan, the days were, let's say, 12-hour days. And then it started getting longer and longer in the summer. He saw longer days already, so he knows it goes up and down. What would he get so excited about? So the Gemara answers, the Havi Zute Kulihai Lochazi. He never saw it get so dark as it did in the winter. That's where he got nervous. Remember, his first time in this world was in the Nisan, which was a perfect day, 12 hours. And then it got really long in the Tammuz, and it got, let's say, 16-hour days. And then it got shorter 12 by 12 hours in the Tishrei. But then it started getting shorter and shorter. That's when he got nervous. The Ritva asks an interesting question that Adam Rishon, the Gemara tells us, was Malach Chachma Kimalach Elokim. He knew everything. He knew everything there is to know in the world. He was like a Malach. So that's the case. How did he not know that this was the Seder HaOlam? He should have known that. Even though he didn't experience it, he was a parent, he was a brilliant, he was like a malach. How come he didn't know this point? So the ritual answers that perhaps he lost his mind a little bit when he violated the sin. He lost some of his ability to understand things, and that's why he got all nervous. That's the understanding of the ritual. If you understand, Abjit says differently. The Gan Eden was on the equator, and the equator, it's, I don't know exactly how it works, but for the most part, it's 12 by 12 for the whole year round. Which is exactly 12 by 12?
What temperature?
But it changed a little bit. But it's around, it never gets too long or too short. It's pretty balanced. So so he always experienced in Gan Eden a pretty balanced night and day. But then when he got to exile to go closer to Eretz Yisrael, then he saw a sudden shift in the timing, and that's what got him nervous. So I'm not sure how that answers the question. I guess he maybe only knew the scientists on the equator, not the scientists close by Eretz Yisrael. But he has some interesting discussion of, depending where he was, which location he was, that impacted the hours, the nights, and days. The Gemara now quotes a Brayis, the Tanur Rabbanan Yom Shenivra Bo Adam Arishon, the day that Adam was created, Kevan Sheshaka Alav Chama. So that day, we're not talking about anymore throughout the year. The very day that Erev Shabbos, that he was created, the moment he saw the sun set, Amar Oyli Shebishvil Shesarachti, because I sinned, Olam Chashach Ba'adi, the world is coming, darkness coming to the world, V'yachzer Olam L'Tovavo, it's going to go back to the before creation of the world, V'zuhi Misa Sheniknesa Alai Min Hashemayim. This was the death. This is the very first night he ever experienced. He got very scared. Hayayosha B'tainis, he started to fast, Ubo Chakol Alayli, he started to cry all night. This was Erev Shabbos, his first Shabbos, he was crying. The Chava Bocha Kinek, the Chava was crying next to him. Kevin Shalom Amud Hashach, but then they saw the sun rise in the morning. Amar Minhago Shel Olam, who, this is the way of the world. So in response to this, Amud Vehikiv Shur Shekrana of Kodmin Le Parso, so if he brought an ox whose horns are going to step before the feet, like a person, obviously an animal steps, the feet go before the head, but the horns were so long, the horns extended themselves in front of even the feet of the shore. As it says in the Pasuk, Shenemar v'teitav l'Hashem mishor par makrin mafris, whose horns are prior to its mafris, before its split hooves. V'amar v'yehuda mashmol shor shikiv aldem rishon karen achas ha'yisalav b'metzcho. It actually had one horn, it was a unicorn. Shenemar, but Tate of Hashem Mishur Par Makrin Mafris. Gemara says Makrin Tarti Mashma. So doesn't it imply two? So the Gemara says Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Mikran Ksiv. It's written without the yud. Granted, it's pronounced Makrin, which sounds like multiple horns, but spelled without the yud, with it more Mikran or something Mikaren, which is simply one horn. Rashi just points out here, as we know, the pasuk tells us that all creation was created, even though this is the first day, or maybe for the animals, they're a few days old, how they already have these long horns, all creation of the world was created because in its full capacity, mature animals, that's why its horns were so long.
You can't ask which came first, the chicken or the egg. We know the answer.
But then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nasan Rome, Shasa Kalanda, the Romans which made Kalanda, the Chal Hayaros Hasmuchos La, and all the neighboring suburbs, Shemishtabdos Lahen, would serve the Romans. Rashi explains they had a certain relationship. If you look at Rashi, the Chal Hayaros Hasmuchos La, the Rome, all the adjacent suburbs to Rome, Yodin Anu Shem Mishtabdos La, the Rome. It's well known that they served the big city of Rome. Litein Amas, they would pay taxes to Rome, Ulahavi Lahen Kol Tzarchen, they would serve them and bring all their needs of water, food, and so on. Aval Osen Ayaros ain Osen Kalanda, but they wouldn't celebrate Kalanda. That wasn't part of their holiday. Mi have Oser Losses of Losses Imam. It was an Oser to do business with the suburbs around Rome. Dinema, Hoel Meshubados La Rome, since they are subservient to Rome, Yeshlomar, Mashin Konim Achshav, whatever they buy now, eventually Yavil La Rome, they're going to bring to Rome, La Krivim B'nei Rome, and therefore they're going to be supporting Avodah Zarah. Or Dilma, or perhaps Omutaro, says Rashi, Hol Ve'ein Makriven Nehein, since they themselves don't offer karbanos to these gods, Ve'ein Yom Eid Zeh Shalahen, it's not a Yom Eid, one would be permitted to do business with the adjacent suburbs. So the Gemara says again, Rome Sha'asa Kalanda V'chal Ayaros Hasmuchas La Mishtabdos La. Osn Ayaros Asurs, those adjacent suburbs, were they also to do business with them during these 8 days? Oh, Mutars, or it's permitted because they're viewed as independent villages. So Rabbi Shubin Levi Amar Kalanda Asura L'chali. It's also to everyone, which implies even the neighboring suburbs. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Asura Ela Lovde Bavad. It's only also to those who actually worship it, meaning Rome, but not to the Ayaros Hasmuchos La. The Gemara brings a brisa, Tana Kavase de Rabbi Yochanan, to support Rabbi Yochanan, that's only usher to the Ovdeha. It says, Afapish Amu Rome, Asa Kalanda, even though it says Rome performed a certain holiday, the Chalayaros, Hasmuchas, La Mishabdisla, and all the adjacent suburbs would serve Rome. He Atzma, Ein Asura Ela Lovde Bilvad. Very clear that the Isser of doing business is only with those who worship it, namely the Romans, the city of Rome. So then the Brisa just continues to finish off the Brisa. Satranalia v'kartasim v'yom genusio shamachem v'yom shumlach b'melech l'fanav aser acharav muta. Those few holidays mentioned, it's aser to do business with them beforehand, but afterwards it's permitted. The Ovid Kochav Mishalsa Mishta Livno, a non-Jew makes a celebration for his son, a Nasa Ela Osa Yom V'Osa, each the only Asa for that particular day and that particular person. So then the Gemara quotes another support. Amr of Ashi Af Ananami Tanina. We also have a Mishnah which supports Rabbi Yochanan that says it's Aser only Lilvdeh, but not to the Ayaros HaSmuchos. Gemara explains the Mishnah, Tikatani, Yom Taglacha Zikano, the day that they would shave his beard, Ublariso, or the long hair in the back, and the Yom Shalom Bab Minayan, the day he would be saved from the sea, or Yom Shiatsa Minah Beis HaSum, or he was saved from the jail. It's only Aser that day and that particular person. So it's very strange language. Bishma Osa Yom, I understand that very day. Lafuka Lafanov Lacharov, to exclude the days before and after. You can do business with them, those days that surround the ones mentioned here. Ela Osa Ish Lafuke Mai. What do you mean Osa Ish, that particular person? So the Gemara says, My Lav Lafuke Mishabdav Shmamina. To exclude only Osa Ish, only those people who have Deh, who serve the God, but not those people who are serving the Zara. Not the Ayaros HaSmuchos, that Mushabados Le Rome, those adjacent suburbs are actually permitted to do business with them. Gemara now quotes the Brisa at the end here, Tani Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Yisol Sheba Chutzlarts, Klaisa who live in Chutzlarts, Ode Avodas Chochavim B'Tarahin. Interesting language here. They serve Avoda. The Jews serve Avoda Zara B'Tara, which Rashi says, the last line, Yerklomer B'lo Kavana V'ein Samim Alev. They don't realize what they're doing. They're doing something wrong without the proper Kavana. So even though it's B'Tara, it's not meaning that they're doing the right thing. They're doing something wrong, and the Gemara is going to explain what's going on here. Ketad, how does this work? Ovid Kochav Mishalsa Mishalavno, a non-Jew makes a party for his child. The Zeman Kala Yehudim Shavir, he invites all the Jews of the city. Afal Pisha Ochlan Mishalan, even though the Jews are eating, they're bringing their own food. Vishosin Mishalan, they're bringing their own wine. Vishamish Shalan, they have their own waiters so they could trust everything. There's no concern of kashrus problems. Omei Lefneim, their own shamish is serving them. Ma'ale Alem Akasiv, the Pasuk considers it. Ki'ilu Achlu Mizivchei Mesim, as if you're eating from the Zivchei Mesim, Shinemar. The Karalacha Vachalta Mizivcha. They're going to call you and you're going to eat from the Zivcha, a Zivcha Mason, which is a reference to the Karbanos of the dead of the Avodah Zarah. So Gemara asks before bringing the proof, Ema Adacha, it should say only once you eat. Why does it say Vakaralacha? It should say Vachaltacha when you eat it. What's Vakaralacha? So Amarava, Imke Nemakra Vachalta Mizivcha, my Vakaralacha, what's the mean? You're calling you Mishas Kriya. The moment you're invited to go to these parties of the non-Jews, even though there's no kashrus problems, everything's permitted to be eaten, the food, the drink, the waiters, everybody you could trust, it's still a problem. Hilkach, the Gemara says, before you Hilkach, so you see from here that even though they're betara, they have good intentions, they're doing everything halachically fine, it's still considered as if they're worshipping Avodah Zarah based on that pasuk. Gemara says in the very top of Chesam and Beis, Hilkach, therefore, called Tlos and Yomim, every 30 days, all 30 days from that party. When they made that party, 30 days afterwards, within those 30 days, Bein Amrlei Machmas Hilula, Bein Lo Amrlei Machmas Hilula, whether or not they say we're having another after party for the Simcha, or even if they don't say it's for an after party, they're just having another get-together, it's going to be Aser, because we could always attribute it to going back to that party they had on the day one. But Mikan Ve'elach, after 30 days, if they have another gathering, so if they say it's Machmas Hilula, us, if they say we're having a 40 after party 40 days afterwards, they say it's based on the initial party that was a problem of Avodah Zarah, so that would be us. But V'lo Amar Le Machmas Hilula, if they don't mention it, based it's a follow-up, an after party, they just say we're getting a get-together now, sorry, that would be permitted. And let's say they say we're having an after party 90 days later, 5 years later. How far after the initial party would it really be considered an after party? At Amos. And so the Gemara says, by the way, this whole Shakutari, we have the same exact model and structure in the Gemara Ksubis with regards to a Chasim Akala of having saying Sheva Brachos and Simcha B'Ma'ono, whether they say it's based on the initial wedding or not. We have now the opposite structure with regards to Avodah Zarah. Or the same structure, but an opposite application. So the Gemara says, Ad Emas, until when can we attribute? If they say we're having another after party, how far after the initial party can we consider really a extension of the initial one? So Amar Papa, Ad Treis or Yarche Shata, 12 months, in other words, a year. So a year afterwards, once it's after a year, you can no longer consider it an after party, even if they claim to be for it to be an after party. Ume Karma Emas, At from what point does it begin? At what in the preparations, when is it usher to attend such a party? So the Gemara says, "Me'emas aser, Amr Papa Mishmei the Rava Michi Ramu Sare Basinti." When they throw the barley in something, look at Rashi. Rashi says here two narrow lines down, "Michi Rami Sare Basinasi Lasa Sheikh Al Yom HaMishnah," in order to make beer for the party. Asinasi Rashi says arivas. It means to mix things together. Shesharon ben Saorin Lasa Sheikhar, soaking the barley, the hops, in order to make barley. At that point, it's already usher to attend such a celebration. Rashi quotes a Lishna Achrina here, Nosin Afar Barevus, they'd put mixed dirt together, Vizarin Sham Sar, and they would plant barley and dirt together, or really barley in the dirt, Kodim Yimei Achupa, before the wedding, Umevin Lefnei Achasim Vakala Kishen Smuchen. And when they begin to grow, they bring it to the Chasim Vakala of Omer, and we say to them, Peru Avu Kisaorin Halalu Shimimaharin Lates Mikol Atfu. Apparently, before the wedding, they put some barley in. Barley is quick to grow, so it's got enough time for it to be to grow for the chuppah. So they present it to the chuppah. You guys should be as fruitful as the barley in the ground is. Look at Tosis right here, why he likes only the second pshat Rashi, not the first pshat Rashi. Tosis in the very top says, "Michi Rami Sari Basinasi Perish Rashi Lashon Rishon Lahatil Shechar." He meant to make beer out of barley, but Tosis had a problem with this vikasha. Even though in the times of the Tosos in Europe and nowadays beers made from barley, back then you find nowhere in the Gemara that was ever made in barley. We're going to see sugyas in the Avodah Zarah, they use dates for the most part. So very hard to say that the Gemara is talking about making beer from barley. That's why he prefers Tosos Rashi's second shot, that they used to put it in the ground and let the barley grow, nothing to do with beer.
What's kashas?
I'm not sure what it is. Then the Gemara, yeah?
I just thought, before we said that, it's also from the time he gets an invitation, and he was saying it's from the time the barley.
I think it's a machmas hilula. That was saying it's also to attend the wedding. You can't attend any simcha. But at what point? That's an invitation. The invitation could even take place already from the time they started soaking their barley as well. If they say we're having a pre-party now for the big celebration, that would be also usher. So the Gemara then says, "V'ha Rab Yitzchak Breder of Misharsha Ikle the Behahu Avud Kachavim Labasa Treser Yarche Shata." One time, Rab Yitzchak went to a after party that was a year after the initial celebration. V'shama de Odi Pirish. He heard that they were being Odeh, they were thanking their gods, and they were referencing different things, I don't know. So he didn't eat. But then we say, if it's a year after the initial event, there's no Isser. So the Gemara explains, we're going to see this a few times in the Masechta here. Shiny of Yitzchak, Breder of Misharsha, de Adam Chashifu. Mi'ikir ha'din, it's permitted, you're right. A year after the initial party, it's all permitted. We have certain stringencies that Adam Chashev takes upon himself, and this is one of them. He should not take part in any such party. We're going to see it comes up by Bishul Akum and Pasishal as well, that even though there's a certain halacha, mitzaradin, but the Adam Chashev is shiny, where he has to take upon himself certain chumras. Gemara now says, if a kartasim v'chuli, that was one of the things mentioned in the Mishnah. My kartasim, what exactly is this holiday? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Yom Shetavsa Ba Romi Malchus, the day that the Romans they conquered the Greeks. Gemara says, V'hatanya, don't we have a brayse that says, kartasim v'yom Shetavsa Ba Romi Malchus? Clearly these are separate days, that one day is kartasim, and the other day is a day that the Romans defeated the Greeks. So Amar Rav Yosef, Shtei Tfisas Tafsu Romi, there were two times where they actually conquered the Greeks. Achas B'mei Kleopatra, Cleopatra Malchasa, the queen of Alexandria, and Achas Shetavsa B'mei Yavanim, in the times they overtook them during the period of the Yavanim. Zichi Aser of Dimi Amar Tlasin V'Train Karvi Avdu Romai B'Hadi Yonim, Yavanim, that there were 32 battles that the Romans had with the Greeks. They were not able to conquer the Greeks ad deshatfinu liYisrael b'hadayu, until they partnered with the Yidden. B'hachi asin b'hadayu, this was the partnership they made with the Jews. If one of us are going to be kings, munaychu afrachi, you guys are going to be the governors, let's say, I'm not sure which level it's talking about, but a assistant below the king. If the Jews are one of the kings, and then we'll be one of the governors. So we have this system in place that they're going to work with each other to defeat the Greeks, and then they're going to be both in the government together. The Romans sent to the Greeks, up until this point, we had physical battles, and we lost every single one of them. You guys claim to be very, very smart, so I'll tell you what we're going to do now. Hashta Navid Bedina. Let's have a debate. Let's see who's going to win the debate. So now that they have the Jews, now you know they're going to win the debate. So the Gemara says, Margalis ve'evin tova ezem em yaseh basis l'chaveiro. If you have a pearl, if you have a precious stone, which one's going to be the base for which one? Which one's going to be ikker? The base is going to be tafel to the one it's showcasing. So the Gemara says, so again, ezem em yaseh basis l'chaveiro. Which is going to be the base for the other? So shal chaluhu, the Yevanim said back, Margalis le'evin tova, the pearl should be the base for the more precious stone. Evin tova ve'inach. Rashi's inach is hunofach. I don't know what type of
carbuncle.
What is it?
Carbuncle.
Okay, I know there's some type of stone, I guess. Ezumen yaseh basis lechaver. Which one should be a base for the other? Evan tova leinach. Now inach v'sefer Torah ezumen yaseh basis lechaver. Now you have this inach and the sefer Torah. Which should be the base for which? Inach the sefer Torah. So the of course the ikar of everything is going to be the sefer Torah. That should be on the pedestal. So the Gemara then says, so gavan v'yisrael b'hadayin, shishachulei, they sent them in came. That's the case. Anan sefer Torah gavan v'yisrael b'hadayin. So we have the sefer Torah. We have the yin with us. So that means we are going to be on top of the world. So kafi lehu esin v'shis sanim, shanim, kamulei b'ham nusa d'b'hadayi Yisrael. For 26 years, the Romans and the Jews had a very nice relationship that they were in control. They bested the Yevanim in this debate. Mikan ve'elach, after that point, ishtabdubu, they had served and enslaved the Jews. So what happened? How come the Romans changed their mind? Initially, their partners, and then they changed to ruling over the Jews. Meikara, initially, my darsh, what was the initial drasha? Luvasov, my darsh, what was the final drasha? This was the Romans darshaning. They also learned the Chumash. Meikar darsh, initially they read the pasuk in Bereishis. It says, "Nasa v'nelcha v'elcha l'negdecha." Let's travel together, l'negdecha, next to each other as partners. That was their initial pasuk and why they partnered with Klal Yisrael. Ulvasov darsh, but in the end they darshened a pasuk a little bit later. And read the next pasuk, it says, "Yavor no adoni lifnei avdo." Yaakov says to Esav, "You go in front of me, please." So Esav goes in front. The Romans went in front of the Yidden. Okay. Gemara now says, Esrin Vishis Shanin Dekamu Bhamnusa Bade Yisrael Minalan. So how do you know that for 26 years they had a very nice relationship, the Jews and the Romans? Damar Rav Kana Kishachala Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosi. When Rav Kana said the following, when Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosi got sick, Shalchulo, they sent him the following, Rebbe, Amar Lanu, teach us something, Shnaim Vishalosh Dvarim, tell us two or three things, Sha'amar Talanu Mishum Avicha, that you had taught us in the name of your father, so we don't forget it. As we see you're getting very ill, remind us three things your father told us. Now, the father of Rabbi Shmuel was Rabbi Yossi, but particularly Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. Tell us three things that he taught you, that you taught us to remind us. So Amar Lahu, he says to them, Mea Ushmon Mishana Kodum Shenecha Vabayis, 180 years prior to the destruction of the Bayis Sheni, Pashta Malchus Harisha, Al Yisrael. There's 180 years before the destruction that the Romans took control of the Jews. Shmonim Shana, 80 years Ad Lo Charev Habayis, before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, Gazu Tuma Al Eretz Ha'amim V'Akli Zechuches. They made a gzera that if a person steps outside into Chutzlarts, they're going to become Tameh. Either because there's concern that people, mothers would bury their kids in any random place and you could come into contact with Tumas Hameis, or because, as a gzera, that a person shouldn't leave Eretz Yisrael. That took place 80 years prior to the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, and also there goes there on glass. Arbar Mishana Ad Lo Charev Habayis, 40 years prior to the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, Galsus and Hedjin V'yashil B'chanus. They were exiled and sat in a place of Chanus, which Rashi says the name of the place was called Chanus. It was a place in Har Habayis, but it wasn't in the Lishchas HaGazus. Lishchas HaGazus, where they would normally sit, they sat in a different area on Har Habayis. L'mai Hilchasa, who cares why they changed their position? What was the relevance of them changing their position? So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Lomar, to teach you, Shelo Danu Dine Knasos. They didn't judge Dine Knasos. What's Dine Knasos? Dine Knasos is any time you pay a penalty. So let's say you pay Kefel or Dal Vehei, Rashi goes through the list, Shloshim She'eved. Whenever there's a set number, regardless of the value, or you're paying more the damage you caused. The person stole, so he returns the object, but needs to pay a penalty of a kefil, or a dal vehei. Those are all examples of penalties. So they moved out of the area, the lishchos hagazus, so they shouldn't judge cases of dinik knasas anymore. Gemara says, dinik knasas hakadai, would you really think that they wouldn't judge cases of dinik knasas? V'hamar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Bram, Rav, the Ram Zach Osa Ishla Tov. Remember this person with a good name, who Rabbi Huda ben Baba Shemo, referring to Rabbi Huda, what did he do? Shilmalehu, had it not been for him, Nishtaku Dine Knasas Misrael, that we would have forgotten penalties. So the fact that we'll see in a second what he had done, but he was able to continue the Masorah of judging Dine Knasas. So we see that Dine Knasas was never batal. So Gemara says, no, Nishtaku Ligisanu Ela Bitlu Dine Knasas Misrael. So no, what happened was that they would have forgotten it. No, granted, they wouldn't implement the Dine Knasos, but we would have forgotten all the Alachos. So they moved out of Lishchan Gazus to go sit in a place called Chanas, so they shouldn't have to judge cases of Dine Knasos anymore. But they still remembered all the Alachos thanks to Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. So Gemara says, what was the whole story? Shegazu Malchus HaRisha Gezeira. The Romans made the following decree. We saw this in Maseches and Hedjin as well in the first parak, that Kol HaSomech Yarig, anyone who does smichu, passes on the Mesorah, which gives one the ability to be a dayan and judge cases of Knasos and Misa, Kol HaSomech Yarig, he's going to be killed for giving smicha. The Kol HaNismach, those who receive smicha, Yeharog, are going to be killed as well. The Ir Shesomchen Ba, the closest city to where the smicha took place, is Tichariv, is going to be destroyed. The Tchum Shesomchen Ba, Yaker, and those areas that are within the Tchum of the area is going to also be uprooted. So what happened? Ma'aser Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. What did he do? Halach v'yashu bein shnei harim gedolim. He sat between two huge mountains. U'bein shnei ayaros, between two big cities, gedolos. Bein shnei tchum shabbos, between two tchum shabboses. He was in the middle of nowhere, no man's land. Bein usha l'shifram. Those are the two cities. V'samach sham chamisha z'kenim. And there in this area, he gave smicha to five great individuals. Names were Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Eliezer ben Shemua. Rav Avya Mosef, he added there was actually a sixth one there, Af Rabbi Nechemya. However, what happened when he was giving smicha, even though he wasn't allowed to, this was quite dangerous, Kevan Shekiru Behem, or even once the enemies, the Romans, realized what was going on, Abraham, he says to them, Bini Rotu, my dear friends, run far away. Amrlo, they said to him, Rabbi V'ata Mate Alecha, what's going to be with you? We can't leave you here by yourself. Amrlo, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba said to them, not to worry, Hareini Motel Lefneim, Kevin Shein Lafucha, hopefully I'm going to be like a dead rock that can't be turned. Amru, they say about him, Lo Zazu Misham Achinatu, Lagufa Shloshmeos, Lulanios, Shabarza, he was pierced with 300 spears, Vasel Lagufa Kikivra, and he was made into a sieve. So that's the story that took place. See the way they see that they continued on the halachas of Knasas, but not the ability to serve it anymore. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Lo Tema Dine Knasos El Shlo Dine Shlo Danu Dine Fashos. Don't say that they weren't judging cases of penalties anymore. Rather, what you should say is they weren't judging cases of Dine Fashos anymore. That's why they moved locations. So the Gemara explains here that my time. Why did they stop judging cases of Dine Fashos? Kevin the Chazad and Fishel Rotzlan. Since they started seeing so many murderers among the Jews, for Yachol Meidan, they couldn't judge them anymore. Just too much for this. So what happened? So the Gemara says, Amru mutav nigle mimakom lemakom. Rather, we, Sanhedrin, are exiled elsewhere. Keich delo lechayvu. So we're not mechayv anyone. Here Rashi explains, we're not mechayv all the murderers' death. Because the halacha is, you're not allowed to judge the din nefashos unless you're ba'osa makom. Unless you're in the makom ha-mikdash, lishchus ha-gazis, the chsiv, as it says, v'asisa pi adavar shagidu lecha min ha-makom ahu. And you're going to tell you, based on what is told from that place, what's min ha-makom ahu? Melamed sha-makom garum, that place gives them the ability, it empowers them to judge cases of din nefashos. But once they move from lishchus ha-gazis to a place chanus, then they're no longer allowed to judge cases of din nefashos. And we never got back to the whole point here. We have to get back to the whole chronology. We're going to continue tomorrow. But before we do so, we look at Tosas just for a second. Dibur Maschil Ella. Tosas writes, Ella shelo danu dine nefashos, vim tomar, va'arminu beperk elu naros, mishichar beis ha-migdash afapi, shebitlu dal misas din, misas lo, nisbatlu. Even though from the beis ha-migdash, from the time it was destroyed, they were no longer giving dine mamuna, dine misas bezin anymore. They were just having HaKadosh Baruch Hu was making sure those who deserved skila and sefer got it, but Bezin wasn't any more implementing it. So Amai Nakit Mishachar Beis HaMikdash. Why there's a Gemara there in Ksuba's quote from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? V'ha Afilu Arboi Mishanu B'fnei Abayis Lo Danu Din Nefashos. Here the Gemara says, 40 years prior already, the Sanhedrin moved from Lishchas to Gaza. So it shouldn't be from Mishechar Beis HaMikdash, there's no longer Dinei Nefashos. It should be from Arbaim Shana, Kodem Shecharav, they're no longer giving Dinei Nefashos. So the Gemara answers, V'yesh Lomar, Dimikom Makom, Kishahayu Rowan, Tzarech Shah, Hayu Chosen El Lishchas V'danun Sham. Turns out, apparently, during those 40 years, when they went to Chanus, if they saw that there was a great need, they had run back to Lishchas HaGazus in order to implement Dinei Nefashos. As opposed to Mishechar Beis HaMikdash, they were never allowed back to Lishchas HaGazus. They were never allowed to ever again give Dinei Nefashos. There's another pshat here in Tosfos, we don't have to read it. One final point I'll mention here is, they discuss how could Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, how could he put his life in danger in order to give smicha? How is that allowed? Isn't it Sakanas Nefashos? How could you put yourself on the line just for smicha? So what the Ein Yaakov answers is, since it was Shas Shmad, we know the Lach in Sanhedrin is Shas Shmad, that you could be Moser Nafsha Afila Mitzvah Kala, so this is considered certainly Mitzvah Kala of passing on Smicha, so a person is allowed to put himself, his life, in danger in order to protect from that.
What was the reason about the Koleas? Why would they made a...